Father John once invited me to lunch at his parish house in the quiet days after Christmas. I stopped to look at a poster on the table in the hall. It was clever. A photograph of a toy soldier and the words, "Next year this toy soldier will have 150,000 fewer children to play with." It came from a British pro-life organisation that lobbies Parliament to try to change our liberal law on abortion. When I told John how ingenious I thought it was, he suddenly became irritated and said, "It won't be going anywhere near my church." Explained why during the meal. He said, "Look, Peter, this is a relatively rich parish. I have no idea how many women here have had abortions, not to mention their mothers or friends who may have helped them. The last thing I want to do is frighten them away. They've suffered too much." John is one of those rare men who understand how women react. And that day he triggered a process of conversion in me. I began to look twice at all the so-called pro-life things linked to the church in our country. And nowadays, I'm much more careful about what I support. John was right. We can never know which of the women sitting in our churches week after week bring that burden of sadness and guilt with them. One year, at our National Conference of Priests, several lay women and men came to tell us what they expected of us. One of them was a woman who classed herself as a survivor, having had an abortion. I remember another priest who said, just before she came in to talk to us, "This is a priest's conference. I don't see why I should listen to someone who's committed the sin of abortion." And off he went. Our speaker told us a story that made our hair stand on end, not only because of the gruesome details of the operation, but also because she felt her church had failed her. Even the sacrament of penance was not enough. A priest, a good priest, as she said, had pronounced the words of forgiveness, but she needed more. But this woman had not come with a tale of woe. She had a message of hope. She told us she had eventually found real help in a program which responds to the needs of women who have had abortions, but desperately want to know God loves them. Project Rachel started in the United States and takes its name from the woman in the Bible who wailed for the loss of her children. She is a sort of patron saint for women who have had abortions and want to come back to God. I often feel frustrated that it is so hard for me, a man and a priest, to get through to the very women who most need to hear of these things. But thinking of what that woman said, I'm probably not the best one to do it. So I was wondering if any of you who are listening has a friend who stays away from church because she says, "I know what the Catholic Church thinks about abortion, so why bother?" Perhaps you could be the person to convince her that God will never write her off, even when the church's representatives fail to get that message across. The other evening during Mass, I had a sort of revelation, which is what made me put these few words together. We were saying the Lamb of God prayer before communion. Maybe when you're talking to your friend who has had an abortion, you could think of these words. "Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us." Ask her to say those words with hope that the Lord will have mercy on them, on her and her baby. We say it a second time. "Have mercy on us." Pray that the Lord will have mercy on them, on her, on her baby, and on the man whose child it was too. Perhaps, in his own way, he too could not face what had happened. You never know. Then comes the final prayer, "Grant us peace." Peace will come when she realizes that those silly old words are true. We hate the sin. But the flip side of the deal really is that we must always love the sinner. Forgive us, priests, if we ever fail to get that across, because that is the whole point of Jesus Christ's life on earth.